Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 20 through 25. God's instructive illustrations of Judah's waywardness. The apostasy in Judah that God punished by sending the nation into Babylonian captivity was not a simple collection of sins that sprung up overnight, but a series of wrongs that grew over time into shocking evil. God described Judah's apostasy in four vivid illustrations in Jeremiah chapter 2, 20 to 25, and we view them for our instruction and warning that we might intercept developing evil in us through God's grace as follows. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 2, verses 20 through 25. For of old time I have broken thy yoke. Actually, a better translation, for of old time you broke your yoke and burst your bands and said, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree you wandered playing the harlot. Yet I planted you as a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange or a wild vine unto me? For though thou dost wash thyself with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. How canst thou say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after the Baals? See thy way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways, a wild donkey used to the wilderness that sniffs the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, that would be in her heat, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat from thirst. But thou saidest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them I will go. Okay. It's interesting. There are four pictures here of Judah's breaking away from the Lord and of her apostasy. And they're pictures of stages of apostasy. You don't just get to the fourth level very, very quickly. You start at one level and then it goes to next one and next one. It's the old illustration of the frog in the kettle. The frog stays in the kettle, and if you gradually warm the kettle until you get to a boil, and you can actually kill the frog, and the frog doesn't even realize it because he gradually gets used to the heat, and eventually the heat will kill him. So if you turn up the heat slowly enough, that's what happens, and that's what happens in this situation. Judah had first broken off her yoke like an animal would break its yoke, acting independently of God. In verse 20, when an animal breaks its yokes or bond, it no longer serves its master but goes its own independent way. But Judah had similarly, long before Jeremiah's time, decided to function independent of God's word, to break her yoke in direct opposition to the warnings of Moses in Deuteronomy 5:28-33. That you heed God's word. I thought I would look at that passage and just read it. It's so important. Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning at verse 28. The Lord heard the voice of your words. This is Moses addressing the nation Israel. The Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they've spoken unto you. They have well said what they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that I might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them again, get you into your tents again. But as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak unto you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land which they give them to possess. You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. It's not like Moses hadn't warned them and encouraged them. But the Lord, in fact, in another passage, God says, I want you to teach these commandments and the statutes to your children. I want you to write them on the frontlets of your eyes. I want you to write them on the doors of your house. In other words, don't forget them, because your welfare is tied up in your obeying these. And if you forget them and you don't do them, then you're going to get my judgment instead of my blessing. So there was a warning about this. But a long time before, Judah had made the decision, no, we don't want to obey God's word. I'll never forget back in the 60s when I think the Supreme Court ruled that took prayers and praying out of the schools, the public schools. Dr. Mitchell at Multnomah School of the Bible said, at that point, he said, America said, God, we don't want you. And that was back in 1967. And he was right. And that was just started the long, slippery slide. But that's what Judah had done long before she had decided, no, I'm going to operate independently of the Lord's word. That's actually a very dangerous thing. We're just going to do our own thing out here. I was listening to Chris here earlier tonight. She was talking about there's a new lesson that's been formulated out by a Child Evangelism Fellowship that tries to teach that God gave, or Noah gave, or somebody gave the people outside of Noah 7 days to enter the ark before they shut the door. Well, the Bible doesn't say that at all. God told Noah and his family to go in, and God shut the door. He didn't give them 7 days. But that's a new version that's come out with CEF. And of course, that's not biblical at all. So we've got to watch it. There are tendencies today for people to depart from Scripture and just kind of say your own thing and preach your own theology. So we've got to watch it. Well, Judah also had been planted of God like a choice vine of good stock to produce quality deeds of righteousness, only to see her produce corrupt, wild produce of artificial righteousness and outright sins in verse 21. Following the decision to act independently of the Lord's leading in his written scriptures, the people of Judah had produced works that were unrighteous, like a vine that produces wild or bitter grapes. God had given Judah every opportunity to produce true righteousness, desirable fruit like a choice vine of good stock, but the initial decision to function independently of Scripture had led to spiritual darkness, like Isaiah 8:20 later describes. And spiritual darkness led Judah to produce sins almost unknowingly. You know, it's interesting that when people start to do that which is wrong, if they've gotten away from paying attention to what Scripture says, a lot of times they do things that are wrong, not intending to do wrong, because they're not even aware that what they're doing is wrong. It's just boom. And all of a sudden, before they know it, they suddenly realize that they're into deep, deep sin, because they recognize, wait a minute, we never did this 30 years ago. Why are we doing this now? But the thing is, when you depart from paying attention to God's word, you don't even know you're in the sin. And that's the problem. And that's where these people got into. Then finally, Judah's sin had eventually left an indelible stain that could not be removed. The resulting sin that Judah had produced could not be washed off. It could not be removed from God's viewpoint, even by the use of lye, which is a strong mineral alkali, or soap, a strong vegetable alkali that was used in Judah at the time. So sin that is produced by one who has functioned independently of God's word to where he walks in darkness is so noticeable by God and intolerant to him that nothing man can do can alleviate the tension it produces in the view of a holy God, leading to inescapable divine punishment. You know, we read how at one point Solomon, who was the son of David, remember, David wrote Scripture. Solomon actually got to the point where he was offering his infant sons in the fire to the god Molech. They would feed these infants through the, they would build a fire at the base of these idols, hollow idols, and the fire would come up over the mouth, and they would feed the baby through the mouth of this idol, and the baby would fall down, of course, and burn to death in the fire. But Solomon was actually giving his sons to this God. These are David's grandsons. Can you imagine this? It's amazing. But that happens over a process of time. It doesn't happen eventually. And of course, that was an indelible sin. And God said that he would break the kingdom away from Solomon because of that. Well, eventually, Judah's sin led to expressions of uncontrolled sensual lust, like that of a wild animal in heat. Much like a swift female camel in heat that would run to and fro looking for a mate, or a wild donkey in the wilderness that sniffed about in the wind while in heat, sexually craving a mate so that any male donkey that pursued her need not tire itself to find her at her mating time. The people of Judah had eagerly given themselves to fulfilling their lusts and following after false foreign gods. Now, pagan Baal worship in particular involved gross indulgences in sexual lusts. Dr. Unger, in his Archaeology in the Old Testament, and pages 172 and 173, indicates that the objects that they have found and the writings that they have found of the Canaanites at that particular time are breathtakingly lewd and grotesque. And often along with this, there would be murder, there would be human sacrifices and so forth. So there was a tremendous amount of wickedness that was tied in with this. But along with the worship of the Baals came sexual lust and sexual expression. And the people got to the point where they're actually addicted. People can actually sometimes become addicted to sexual lust expression. That's what happened at this point. And this lust, coupled with the lust for false gods, took control of the people of Judah because all the other restraints had long before been removed, turning the idolatry Judah had adopted into a form of sadistic addiction. So what's interesting is you have people starting off saying, no, I'm not going to pay attention to God's word. And after a while, you get to the point where you're into a sadistic form of addictive sin. And it's too late. Now, this can people can get into addictive sin with alcoholism or with drugs. I mean, it can go in that direction as well. Some are addicted with the use of pornography and so forth. There are all sorts of addictions that get a hold of people and control them. But Judah's apostasy developed over a time in stages. The people first broke off their yoke of allegiance to God's word like an animal that breaks its yoke, deciding to function independently of the Lord without his guidelines and corrective benefits. That led Judah's people to walk in darkness, to where they produced unrighteous deeds, works that were so wicked that the stain of the sin involved was indelibly fixed so that no man could appease the Lord's wrath. Finally, Judah's wickedness led her to become addicted to the most lewd forms of idolatry, and the people of Judah eagerly gave themselves to idolatry as addicts, much like a wild animal in heat gives itself completely to fulfilling its sexual desires. This is very graphic, but God had to present this to show the people that's what's going to happen if you don't check sin. So to avoid the sin of apostasy and departing from the Lord, may we, now we apply it to us, watch that we not begin to go down that road by simply functioning independently of the direction that God and his written word provides us. For unless we are attending to that spiritual compass, the word of God, we will walk in total darkness. This illustration that Chris mentioned tonight about the CEF coming up with the idea that the people in Noah's day were given 7 days to enter into the ark. They're given the selection, but none of them chose it, and that then God closed the door and so forth. That's not true. But that's what happened when you start functioning independently of God. You start coming up with these, and you feel at liberty to come up with these new and novel ideas. And before you know it, you're not even presenting Scripture. And then you get into areas of sin or theological heresies, and people don't even know it. If we have functioned independently of the Word and produced acts that we realize are sinful acts upon checking the Word, may we immediately confess them to the Lord as we are headed down the road of apostasy. 3, if our sin reaches the level of indelible stain where God must judge it, may we repent lest the sin get control of us further. And 4, make us addicted to sinning in unbridled lust, what can only lead to a sadistic, tragic end. Many years ago, there was a family in a church where I was a teenager at the time. And the family allowed its children, who were teens, to live on the edge, so to speak, of righteousness. They were flagrantly evil, but living on the edge of righteousness. And after a while, when they became young adults, they went off of the realm of living on the edge of righteousness, going into the edge of wickedness. And one of the girls in that family got so heavily involved in sin, she's my age, that she died in her 50s, and they said when she died, she looked like she was in her 90s. That's what sin had done to her. Absolutely ruined her health. And it gotten to the point where she is actually addicted to the realm of sin that she was in, to the point where it was bothersome. She was living in an apartment. It was bothersome even to secular neighbors who were living in the apartment complex around them because of the ruckus that was created because of this addictive nature. And she died. And she was a believer. She professed to know Christ as her Savior, even near the end and everything. But they flirted with sin. See, the idea was to see how close to the edge of the cliff you can walk without falling off. That's not the way we're supposed to function. God wants us to see how close to the Word of God we can function. In other words, how far away from the cliff we can go so that we walk in righteousness. So I realize this passage here is dealing with a nation that has gone completely corrupt. But it's interesting to notice the stages. And it's also a nice warning, a good warning for us, a healthy warning, to make sure that we're staying close to the Word of God. I know I harp on this a lot, but there's a reason for it. There are a lot of movements, even in evangelical circles today, just to flirt with that which is not biblical and to start including ideas that are not actually in Scripture. And after a generation, then you're actually getting into error. So it's very important for us to stay close to the Word that we might not end up in apostasy.